Attention passengers, this is your captain speaking. Brace for impact. This is Tom Lewis. In my book, Brace for Impact, I gave you the big picture about the beginning of the crash of the industrial age. Here, on The Daily Impact, we chronicle the downward spiral. It is exceedingly strange how the notion persists among, for example, the Russian geniuses who planned the Ukrainian invasion, that bombardment breaks the will of the people bombed, when almost every chapter of human history contradicts it. For example, during 8 years studying and writing about the American Civil War, I found no evidence that any battle was decided by artillery. The largest bombardment ever conducted in the Western Hemisphere by Confederate gunners on the third day of the Battle of Gettysburg, just before Pickett's charge, inflicted a single casualty, wounding a steward in a rear area. There was an interesting argument during the bombardment between the Federal commanding general Winfield Scott Hancock and his chief of artillery Henry Hunt. Seeing the Confederate bombardment was totally ineffective, Hunt held his fire, conserving ammunition for later. Hancock angrily overruled him, saying that the Union troops would be demoralized unless they heard their guns firing back. An interesting reason for deploying artillery. I know I'm riling a lot of artillery enthusiasts here, and I don't mean that artillery is insignificant. For example, Union artillery was very effective in repelling Pickett's charge that day because it was used to fire grapeshot into the charging soldiers at close range, using the guns like huge shotguns. What I'm talking about here is bombardment from afar by guns on the ground, guns on ships and planes, unaccompanied by infantry. The massive bombing campaign by the U.S. 8th Air Force in the final days of World War II is widely regarded as having inflicted mortal damage on German resistance to the Allied advances through Europe. But later studies showed that most damage to essential facilities was repaired within a few days, and the enemy's will to resist was strengthened, not weakened. For all the heroic efforts of the Air Force, it was the infantry that took the ground. In the war in the Pacific, U.S. naval guns often pounded a Japanese island stronghold for days until the entire island looked like a dumpster fire, only to be met on landing the Marines by undiminished, undaunted forces. Yet the U.S. military still thought it could bomb people to their knees when it carpet-bombed huge chunks of North Vietnam and the Ho Chi Minh Trail in the 1960s, to no apparent effect. Today, drone strikes are all the rage in places like Yemen and Somalia, as they were until recently in Iraq and Afghanistan. Being able to inflict damage without risking the life of an air crew makes the military absolutely dizzy with delight and totally unfazed by collateral damage among weddings and children. But it is well established that instead of winning hearts and minds or disheartening the population, each strike recruits more dedicated warriors for the other side. And now Ukraine. Putin obviously has not learned the lesson either, because the main feature of his invasion so far has been the indiscriminate, almost random, bombardment of civilian targets. The result has been to galvanize the Ukrainian people against him and his army beyond anyone's wildest expectations of just weeks ago. As our former president used to say when he stumbled over an obvious fact, no one could have predicted that. By the way, the atomic bombing of Japan and its subsequent surrender are, I would submit, an exception that supports the rule. Total destruction on that scale has seldom ever been achieved.
To keep up with the ways our industrial world is falling apart, subscribe to The Daily Impact. To better understand them, the second edition paperback edition of Brace for Impact is now available at Amazon.com. For now, this is Tom Lewis saying, brace for impact.